Now in session, the Honorable Judge Kenneth P. M. Wright presiding in the matter of Plexus Corp. v. United States, court number 13-00343. Will counsel please identify themselves for the record, beginning with plaintiff's counsel.
Aaron Harlow, and company,
thank you, Mr. Barlow. Can everybody please mute your microphone unless you're actually speaking to the judge?
Thank you.
And this is Beverly Farrell, Department of Justice for the United States.
Thank you, Ms. Farrell. Okay, judges, we're ready to go.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you, Sam, for putting this all together. Thanks to Mr. Barlow, Ms. Farrell, and Mr. Heydrich. Is it Heydrich or Heydrich? That is the correct pronunciation.
You need to unmute your microphone, Mr.
Agent. Oh, sorry, Your Honor, it's
Heydrich. Oh, my apologies.
Oh, I wasn't even in the ballpark. I apologize.
You got as close as most people get, Your Honor.
Well, welcome to all of you. We appreciate you being here. As I mentioned the other day, we're looking forward to going through the questions, but I want to invite each of the parties to make any opening comments that they might like. Mr. Barlow, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Your Honor. I do have a brief opening statement. I'll briefly cover the issue that Jameis believes to be of the highest importance for both the classification question presented. Heading 8525 covers transmission apparatus for radio broadcasting or television. Dictionary definitions of the term transmission show it means sending signals from one location to another location. Explanatory note A to heading 8525 provides examples of products classified as transmission apparatus. And not surprisingly, they are all equipment to send signals from one location to another location. The World Health Organization issues classification opinion that encoders, multiplexers, and true multiplexers are not classified as transmission apparatus, they are not transmitted, but are classified as apparatus for the transmission in heading 8517 because they compress data so that more data can be transmitted by other equipment. Explanatory note 2G to heading 8517 provides that multiplexers and data compressors are classified as apparatus for the transmission of voice, images, or other data in a network. In other words, Your Honor, to reach the government's classification position in this case, one has to put aside the common meaning of the tariff term, the WCO classification opinion, and the explanatory notes to both heading 8525 and 8517. The government addresses this by claiming that equipment that compresses data to be handed off to other equipment in the same location is somehow transmitting that data to another location, or alternatively, given some undefined path or stream of transmission. But these arguments fall short. Accordingly, we ask that the court overturn Customs classification as transmission apparatus for television, equipment that does not send signals for television. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Barlow. Can I just follow up quickly on the explanatory note? So may I harken back to Steve's suggestion that everybody who's not in an immediate conversation, please mute your microphones. There was a little bit of interference while Mr. Barlow was speaking. And thank you for that. I know this is all a challenge for all of us. So explanatory note G5, I'm reading, says data codecs, data compressors and decompressors that have the capability of transmission and reception of digital information. Are you focused on that subsection of note G?
Yes, Your Honor. We're focusing on on that exact language.
And so
where the language includes, again, if we're looking at G as in George, we confirm that. Yes, G was covered other communication apparatus, and then it states this group includes, and there is six examples given. Example number four is structures, which are specifically named, and data compared to decompressors, which are also being stored. In other words, you want to
okay, so maybe take Ms. Farrell, I'm going to offer you a chance to deliver your opening as well. If it's all right, I'd like to just do this with both Mr. Barlow and you, if that's okay, if it came up in his opening.
Yes, Your Honor.
And then we'll get back to your opening. So in item G4, it says multiplexers and related line equipment. Then it gives us an example of transmitters, receivers, and electro-optical converters. So these are not, you are not suggesting that they are electro-optical converters, right?
Is that question to me or to Ms. Farrell?
I'm sorry, Mr. Butler. I'm staying with you, and then I'll offer Ms. Farrell a chance to answer these questions, and then we'll go to Ms. Farrell's opening.
Yes, Your Honor, that is correct. We are not claiming that they are transmitters, receivers, or neuro-optical converters. That is correct, Your Honor. But we are claiming that they're multiplexers, which are, again, named for item 4.
So if they had to provide an example, an EG for item 4, what would they have given for the subject merchandise?
Well, the subject merchandise includes encoders, multiplexers, and remultiplexers. So to give the exact name of the product to be classified, I think is about as accurate as we could hope for.
Okay. So then if we go to G5, where it says codecs and it says parentheses, data compressors, decompressors, it says which have the capability of transmission and detection. So does the subject merchandise, your view, have the capability of transmission and reception?
No, Your Honor. It does not send signals to other locations. So under our understanding of the meaning of the word transmission, our encoders or data compressors do not transmit. Now they are, again, under the heavy language 8517 for the transmission, meaning that they enhance the transmission function. But it's important to note that the actual function of transmitting or sending signals to other locations is performed by equipment other than the harmonic.
So that you would be directing, so then G5 would not pertain to the subject merchandise, and you're directing us to the explanatory note to look at G4 only.
You're right. We believe that G5 also applies. But we think that language, which has the capability of transmission, because that's within the explanatory note to 8517, and because the heavy language of 8517 is for the transmission, we think that that's the context that's given there in 5.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Barlow, for bearing with me on that. Ms. Farrell, may I ask you to comment on explanatory note G, just the questions that I've been discussing with Mr. Barlow, if you wish to.
Yes, Your Honor. The fact that these terms are here, one has to back up and recognize that we are actually in a heading that is for telephony, which is for telephone communication. And so while this may be true, these transmissions that are being discussed for the multiplexers, the compressions, or the transmission is in the context of telephone communication for telephony, and that all of these headings are associated with, ultimately, a heading that backs up into 8517, which deals with telephone. It's telephone sets, including telephones for cellular networks and for other wireless networks, other apparatus for transmission and reception of voice, images, and data. This is part and parcel of a heading with its trail on about telephone, telephony. And so the fact that this is being limited, these multiplexers and the codecs, would be for transmission relating to telephony. We know from the testimony of Harmonix, which is, they're the people who are most informed about the EMRs because it is their equipment. We know from them that predominantly, throughout the testimony, they talked about using it with cable companies, using it with terrestrial TV stations like ABC that would do something locally and then would be transmitted up to go out to a cable company. Is it possible that there could be used in telephone, in telephony? It's possible. I believe that's probably true. But the testimony that we received from Harmonix were that their customers were cable companies, satellites, you know, Comcast, Dish TV, DirecTV, those types of things. And they also talked about AT&T and Verizon using their equipment in the context of IPTV, Internet Protocol TV. So those companies were basically trying to convert themselves from purely the old Ma Bell, you know, this isn't the old, you know, telecommunications network, but rather to become something akin to a Comcast or DirecTV because they are transmitting and they're getting paid for content. And that content is television programming, movie programming, but things that are being transmitted for the purpose of television, ultimately. And we know that this equipment here, when it talks about codecs, well, a codec is a compressor. The bulk of the, even though there are multiplexers and remultiplexers, the higher end are the more recent equipment from Harmonix, which are at issue in this case. So the first item on the list of items at issue here is actually an encoder. All it does is compress. The other, the multiplexers, will then take the compressed streams. According to the testimony of Harmonix, some of the higher end, the last three or four items that are in the list, those actually did multiple functions. Encode as what code is compressing, according to Harmonix witness, and multiplexing is taking compressed streams and bundling them together to press through the system. So that's what is going on here, but that equipment may have encoders in it. And the plain language of the explanatory note with respect to G5 is which have the capability of transmission and reception. So there's an and there. It doesn't say and or. It doesn't use or. It says have the capability of transmission and reception. And we're being told that this equipment doesn't do either, according to the plaintiff. And my understanding from the, you know, if one looks at the definition of transmission as we talked about, which is movement. The movement of data, it isn't necessarily that it's the actual transmitter itself. So they would have used that term. They've used a broader term, which is an act of transmission, which I think both parties agree, is movement. We're now living in a world of movement of data. That data may be voice. That data may be digital words, which is like closed captioning for television programs. That data may be images. But that data here, according to Harmonix, is being compressed. So data is coming into the Harmonix equipment from elsewhere. And while it's in the Harmonix equipment, it's being compressed. So it's changing its location per se. And even in a multiplexer, it's taking streams of compressed data, and therefore it is being, and pulling them together, and we call this squishing marshmallows, different colored marshmallows, as an analogy. But that squishing is changing the location of the data. It's going from a wider data path to a smaller data path. The encoder is doing the exact same thing. It's compressing. If these equipment was not moving data, then once the content was pressed, was compressed, it would stay inside of the harmonic equipment and inside of the chassis that held the PC boards. It wouldn't go anywhere. But it leaves an encoder and moves on to a multiplexer and then often moves on to a re-multiplexer. So there is movement that is occurring, and it is occurring through the harmonic devices. So there's no question that the transmission is occurring. It may not be transmission to your house. It may not be transmission onto your tablet, onto your computer, onto your cell phone. It's not doing the last step, but it lives in the chain of movement of data. If it didn't, the data would get stuck at the door of the harmonic equipment, and we would never have anything on our television set.
So I have two questions. One is, I'm not sure that the borrower that agrees that you are moving. Is that correct, Mr. Barlow? Or you're trying to say that the data are moving in the context of being compressed by the subject group device? Is that fair to say, is a quick summary of what you were saying?
Excuse me, Judge Wright?
Yes,
I apologize. I'm sorry to interrupt. We're getting a lot of feedback on the line. It looks like one of the public participants doesn't have their microphone on, but might have the volume up on their device that they're listening to. Rebecca Nur, I don't know if you could hear me. Could you turn the volume down on whatever device you're listening to? We're getting some feedback. Okay, I think that's actually a little better. So I'm sorry to interrupt.
Thank you. So you don't have me down. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Mr. Barlow, did you understand my question?
No, sir. Would you understand what you said? I had difficulty hearing.
Okay, so how I understood Ms. Barlow was that there is movement of data in the context of the subject merchandise compressing the data. Ms. Dow, first of all, is that a correct take on what you were saying?
Yes, Your Honor, that the location within the equipment of the data, it is being moved along, and it's changing its size. It's going from bigger to smaller, or it's being moved along in streams that are then pushed together. So they were wider, and then they get pushed together, and then they remultiplex because they come out of a multiplexer, which is a bunch of streams, which then get pushed again. So there is movement along this path. It can't possibly be that it's not moving. That data is running along electrical currents and being acted upon by the harmonic equipment.
Okay. Mr. Barlow, would you care to comment on that point?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. Again, the term in heading 8525 is transmission apparatus. Transmission is defined as sending data or signal from one location to another location. The harmonic encoders and multiplexers are in the location where they are situated, attached to transmission equipment in that same location. And because we're connected physically, yes, data moves from the encoder and multiplexer to, a couple inches or feet away the transmission equipment. But in terms of falling within the meaning of the data was sent to another location, the multiplexers are not doing that. They compress data, they switch off, and they drop the transmission equipment which then sends it to augmentation. So what it'll basically and computer. So you know, this idea that the government has come up with of moving from the compression equipment to the transition equipment itself. Looking at the transition from one location to another, you know, that's not what the parents have in mind.
So thank you. One quick comment, and I want to come back to you, Farrell, briefly. Mr. Barlow, we get different quality of sound from your mic, as you see. So just try to be aware. I don't know where your mic may be. You can try to hear every word that you're saying.
Well, thank you for telling me that, Your Honor. Please, how is it now? Does it sound better? Okay, thank you.
Do you have any brief comeback to what Mr. Barlow just said? Because I think I understand each of your points now on this and ready to move on. But do you have a quick, anything else?
And just quickly, Your Honor, plaintiff's position on the word location is too narrow. That we use the common meaning of words, and location can be literally a millimeter away. It can be less than, it can be a nanometer. And in fact, that's how inside of computers data is moving around. That data is moving. It's changing its location. When you take it from a computer into your thumb drive, it went from the hard drive in your computer onto a thumb drive. We don't see it happen. It's still in your same, at your desk. You haven't changed the location according to plaintiffs. But I believe it's too narrow a definition of the word location.
Okay, I think I understand that. Ms. Farrell, I'm going to give you just a moment. And then I want to go to your opening, but I omitted to recognize my team. I'd like each of them to just introduce themselves. I meant to do that at the beginning. My law clerk and two of our law interns. Since they're on camera, I'd like to make sure everybody knows that they're the brains of this operation. So, Paula, please start us off.
Just make sure your microphone is unmuted before you introduce yourself.
Sorry about that. Hi, everybody. My name is Paula Oyeyemi, and I am the lead law clerk for the case.
Hi, you know, would you take Glenn Denning? I am an intern in Judge Rice Cambridge.
I'm Lena Berrier.
Okay, thank you. Now we're getting some interesting music on the line. Richard, I'm seeing your image. Could you make sure your mic is muted, please? Okay. Ms. Farrell, thank you for your patience, and please offer any opening comments.
Yes, Your Honor. The undisputed testimony from the manufacturers that are at issue here, which is driving the analysis. Plexus, of course, as we know, makes the printed circuit boards, makes the chassis that Harmonix use, and the EMRs that Harmonix has designed, that is what is driving the analysis and the proper classification. There is absolutely no dispute, based on the testimony of the 30B6 witness of Harmonix, that the EMRs are being used in connection with Comcast and other cable companies, with DirecTV and satellite cable providers, and with Verizon and AT&T, but not in the perspective of being a telephone company, but rather from the perspective of being a content provider. And so there's no question that television programming is being worked through and being advanced and facilitated by the equipment at issue here, the EMRs. So the fact that television programming goes through these EMRs makes these items classifiable as transmission apparatus of heading 85-25. The heading speaks in terms of transmission apparatus, and apparatus is a very broad term, as the CCPA and ANPEX concluded, that it is the equipment that facilitates an activity of transmission. There's no question, testimony from Harmonix says that the equipment at issue here facilitates the transmission of television broadcast signals, whether it be through a cable network, whether it be through a dish network, whether it be through a terrestrial broadcast like a local ABC station, or whether it be through Verizon with its BIOS, or AT&T with its attempt to deliver to its cell phones video, which is coming in. I mean, the cell phones, tablets, computers, even our smart TVs now, all of these have applications that allow for you to download an app and receive broadcast television. You may not be receiving it real time, but you are able to get that broadcast, maybe on demand, maybe real time, maybe delayed, but it is all coming through and is all dealing with television content. Therefore, it satisfies, per se, the terms of heading 8525, and as such, because it's all within 8525, the exclusion that is in 8517 comes into place, and 8517 cannot possibly be the proper heading for these goods.
Okay, thank you for that. I said before that I had actually two questions for you in response to Mr. Barrow's opening. I omitted to ask the second one. The second one pertains to the note G, subsection 4, which mentions multiplexers by name. And it sounds like that would be very directly applicable to this. Why does the government think that it is literally the subject merchandise goes into a multiplexer, is that not correct? Is manufactured for that specific purpose?
There's no question that the subject merchandise from Harmonix, that among those are multiplexers. To the heading here of G, that comes out of the statute. This, of course, is an explanatory note, which can be helpful, but it doesn't change the terms of the heading. The heading says other communication apparatus. Well, that's interesting, because then that means a multiplexer has to be an apparatus. So we go back to our heading 8525. It may not use the term multiplexers in the explanatory note. It may not use codecs, because at the time the explanatory notes were made, perhaps they didn't feel the need, but it used the word apparatus. And here, apparatus and multiplexers and codecs, compressors, are being equated as apparatus. Therefore, it is consistent with the government's position that 8525 transmission apparatus captures multiplexers, remultiplexers, and compressors, also known as encoders.
I guess I'm not fully clear that we have the term transmission apparatus. However, the term multiplexers is only in 8517. It specifically enumerates that device, that apparatus. Wouldn't that suggest that 8517 was the more correct heading for the subject merchandise?
No, Your Honor, because 8517 is associated with telephony. It's not speaking in terms of television, transmission of television. And here you have telephony, which, because the phones have become cell phones and allow one to actually download an app and watch television on your cell phone, you know, a multiplexer can assist in that. But a multiplexer here can also assist in compressing data that allows more data through the phone lines if the phone lines are optical or digital, as opposed to the old copper wires that used to hang out the back of everybody's house. So this is just recognizing that compression and telephony can occur. But the one thing that it does do is it tells us that that means it's an apparatus. But I will say, Your Honor, that this multiplexer, while it is in the explanatory notes, is not in the heading. And this is a heading that deals with telephony. It deals with telephone communication. And is it possible that the Harmonix equipment could be used for video conferencing, where one would have telephony as well as the video that's occurring? Yes, that's absolutely possible. But there's no question that the testimony from Harmonic was that every time you asked about the equipment, it was, well, the cable company, Comcast, CNN, ESPN, DirecTV, Dish TV, those are folks that are buying, they're our customers. They're buying this. And so they're using that. And then he talks about AT&T and Verizon, not from the perspective of video conferencing and telephony, but rather from the perspective that AT&T and Verizon are trying to use their telephone networks to break into the delivery of television content. So there's everything is driving toward the fact that this is being used for the transmission of television. This is apparatus, no question, because we now know multiplexes and codecs, according to 8517 explanatory notes, are in fact apparatus, and therefore, because they're doing television, they belong more specifically in 8525.
So we're going to get to, I want to turn to question one in a moment, because I think that picks up right on this same screen of thought. But I guess I want to ask, your definition of television is the transmission, whatever the media is, it is a, whatever the apparatus, I guess, it is an image. As long as there is an image involved, then it's television, not telephone?
Yes, I mean, the definition of television, which is the transmission of images and sound, but yes, the images involved. Those are tied together, and they're captured by a camera that is then sent out, and its content is provided to the viewer.
Are we on television right now?
We're not on television right now. We're on video conferencing equipment through the Internet, and the Internet protocol, according to Harmonic, things like YouTube and other Internet protocol don't use Harmonic equipment to be able to do that transmission. So this is likely, based on, you know, now that it's so recent, it is likely a purely software event here that's transmitting images and sound and has nothing to do with any of the Harmonic equipment.
So your point, when I try to be very succinct on this, your point now is that there is no role of Harmonic equipment in this video conference, and therefore it is a telephone conference. Is that correct?
No, I believe it's an Internet protocol conference. I don't think we're going over a telephone line. We're going over, at least in my house, I'm using my wireless through my cable company. So maybe back in the old days, if the cable company had wireless and they were still using the Harmonic, this would have been in the time period 2010 through 2012 that the Harmonic equipment was being used with cable companies. If I were connecting with folks that way, then I would be going through my cable company, and this would just be an offshoot of the functionality.
I'm trying to take hold of the distinctions, the lines you were suggesting. And I thought a moment ago you suggested the distinction was that for purposes, you said, talked about transmission of images. So I said, well, we've got images going back and forth right now. And then you said, but they are not, there's no Harmonic equipment involved in the transmission of the images in our current hearing. Did I understand that correctly?
Right.
So it's about Harmonic equipment. It's not involved in this event. All right?
That's my understanding from the witness of Harmonic, who had indicated that as of the time of the deposition, which was 2018, that the compressors, the codecs, the encoders, the multiplexers, and the real multiplexers weren't even being used anymore. They were now using software to actually perform those functions.
Okay, but again, the distinction you are making between an image going across telephony versus television is that television involves the utilization of Harmonic equipment, and this current event does not. Is that correct, or is it?
Well, it's So it's correct, but not the full statement, I suppose. Just making the point that the case was, you know, using the harmonic equipment, and I just wanted to make the point that the harmonic equipment was not going to be something that's used for what we're doing right now. And this would not be transmission of television, because television is a camera. The camera is used to capture, and then, you know, it's a digital camera. It's used to capture the data, and then it's moved along a transmission, you know, as we saw in the schematic that was presented by the plaintiff, that, it, you know, it's, most of this is coming through satellites from different places. So a camera is capturing digitally.
May I just ask, this is a very complicated material. I'm going to try to be breaking down our questions into very specific chunks so that we can piece together what each side is arguing. So if I might ask you, Ms. Bell, can you please just stick with the narrow question that I'm asking so that I can understand it? And a pivot to Mr. Barlow, I want to get to question one. Anything very briefly on question of image transmission.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor, and I will be very brief because I think the questions are going to come up on really do a great job of laying out a roadmap for discussing this in an organized manner. So I will just, I'll leave those issues aside for discussion during the questions, which I won't go very much on point, but I could just very briefly make one or two comments. Strongly disagree with the assertion that HEADY 8517 is for telephony only. Many years ago, certainly before 2007, that's where you put telephone equipment, but in 2007, the language and the tariff provisions, the explanatory notes of 8517 were expanded to include things beyond just telephone equipment. That's really important to recognize. Another point, you know, this idea of transmission. If you plug a memory stick into your computer and download data, you know, your computer's not transmitting the data through the memory, it's just moving it to something attached to it. I think that's important to comment on as well. Also very briefly, Your Honor, we're going to get into it in our next question as well. As far as video processing, the harmonic equipment is in the record at a number of different locations. I think I'll leave it at that for now, Your Honor, because again, I think the questions will get into it very well.
Okay, well, thank you for the transition. I'd like to start with you on question one, parts A, B, and C. I won't put the benefit of the insanity of everyone on the call. I'm not going to read the questions. You all have had them. I think everybody has access to them. So, Mr. Barlow, would you start with 1A, please, and help us understand that?
Yes, sir, Your Honor. 1A goes, essentially asking for examples of typical uses our my product provides that is not television programming. Your Honor, these proceedings today are a perfect example. We are communicating using video conferencing. Our images and words are being converted into digital data, billions of zeros and ones, traveling across a broadband multimedia communication network connecting our personal computers. This very data that is our video conference media is being encoded and multiplexed by EMR, optically and harmonically in EMR. Reduce the amount of space and bandwidth taken by this data. Your Honor, there's a review of the use of EMR in video conferencing found in the record of Professor Schoenfeld's deposition at page 134, where the specific example is given, where he is asked, what if we had a video conference between, say, New York and D.C.? And he answered, yes, that's data that is turned into, that conference is turned into digital data, which passes through the harmonic equipment. And at page 133 of the professor's deposition, 114-23, the deposition contains a quite fascinating conversation confirming that a video conference could use both encoders and multiplexers because it is audio, video, digital data. Other examples, Your Honor, in addition to video conferencing, with, where there's a non-TV use for the EMR would include an oral phone call, like on my old and set phone calls here. If I were to speak on my phone, My voice is turned into digital data, voice over internet protocol, VoIP. And Your Honor, this goes over the same network that our video conference is today now is on. It's the same network. And it's compressed by electricity purposes the same EMR. Or my smartphone, Your Honor. I want to do FaceTime on my smartphone. Again, it's going to attack in the same network, the same provider. And be compressed for efficiency purposes by the same EMR. Another example, TikTok, a mobile app, maybe some of our kids use to, where people post short videos of music or people dancing. It's watched on smartphones or computers or iPads. Again, it's audio, video, digital data that is encoded and multiplexed, so it takes up less space. And so the network can communicate more efficiently. Do you want me to go into, Your Honor, B as well?
Yes, let's go to B, and then if you have any comment on C, and then I have something on file.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. The question B is, which of the demonic products would be used in these non-TV uses we've just been reviewing? Your Honor, all nine of the demonic products are used in broadband, multimedia communication networks to compress audio, video, and digital data representing a wide range of content. Declarations by Harmonic product managers, Neil Bryden and Eric Armstrong, state that the EMR are designed and used for compressing digital data representing audio video generally, and they state no limitation on the type of video audio video data being compressed. I would reference Professor Schoenfeld's expert report to paragraphs 18 to 24, where he explains how formerly exclusive phone companies like Verizon, on the one hand, to formerly exclusively TV companies like Comcast, on the other hand, after the digital revolution, converted their networks into a broadband multimedia network that handles all forms of audio and video content and communication, not just limited to phone or TV or TV. And these networks would offer a full range of audio and video content, use EMR to make their network as efficient as possible. Your Honor, previously, counsel, for the government was talking about Verizon versus Comcast uses. You know, if you go and look at a legacy system like Verizon was years ago, it was providing only phone use, and they incorporated the Harmonic EMR. And Comcast was exclusively TV, and they incorporated the Harmonic EMR. Why? Because after the digital revolution, each of these networks, despite Verizon being formerly cell phone and Comcast being formerly TV, now are providing all forms of audio, video, digital data, via telephone call, via social program, via video call. That's really important to understand. And,
I appreciate that. Quick question, and then maybe any quick comment on food. Wouldn't your argument lead to 8517 completely subsuming 8525?
Could you repeat that, Your Honor?
Of course. What is the argument you're making mean that 8517 would completely subsume what's in 8525? Because the point you're making is that given the movement of television programmers who previously did that, moving into telephony and other kinds of uses and vice versa, and all of this, and you argue that it's in 8517, doesn't 8525 get subsumed here?
Thank you, Your Honor. No, our position for what's classified in 8517 does not in any way make root or consume 8525. Products that are imported are still have to be classified in 8525 if they fit within the description of 8525. Again, in these networks, there are encoders and multiplexers that are compressing data, but also within these networks, there's other transmission equipment that's involved in the transmission out, such as satellite antennas and other things that would still be classified in 8525. And I think we get into more detail on that in the subsequent question, so I'll just make that a comment if I may.
Okay. No, for sure. Anything on C that you want to share?
Yes, but just that's how commonly I'm used in my comment there is in this post-digital revolution period, smartphones, personal computers, and other devices that are not TVs are very commonly used by the end user for a wide range of audio video content and communication. Thank you, Ron.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ball. Ms. Bell, any questions or comments on ABC?
Yes, Your Honor. One thing I want to make sure we all are speaking in the same language. For purposes of end users, the people who are purchasing the harmonic equipment are the cable companies, the Dish TV folks, Verizon BIOS, and AT&T. Those folks are purchasing this equipment. This equipment was being purchased, you know, in the time period 2010 through 2012. More recently, according to Harmonic's CEO, who provided the 30B6 deposition, they're using hard, you know, tangible equipment. It's now software that is doing this. But talking about beyond television programming, all of the devices and all of the end uses that Mr. Barlow was mentioning, all of those are also part of systems that are sending out television programming. And indeed, people who are using their smartphone, and I don't know whether or not the company that's running the smartphone, Sprint, Verizon, whomever, are in fact using the harmonic equipment. There is testimony that in the 2010 to 2012 period that Comcast, CNN, ESPN, Dish TV, these were customers. And I believe also that Verizon, for purposes of its BIOS, may have been a customer. There was a mention of AT&T and Verizon. But one thing for sure is the cable companies were the primary customers of Harmonic during this time period, according to Harmonic's CEO. So the fact that there are other uses don't end the fact that all of these devices, all of the digital information, is including television broadcasting. It's television content. There are people who are downloading HBO and Disney Plus and their local television station because they want to watch the news. Well, maybe they're not at home and they want to watch the news on their handset, on their cell phone. But all of those may or may not be using harmonic. There's no evidence that the devices that we're hearing about are in fact in systems that are using harmonic equipment. The only thing we know with absolute certainty is that Comcast, CNN, ESPN were listed as specific entities that had been customers and purchasers of the harmonic equipment. And talking about how this equipment is used, how are these products used by the end user, again, depending on who the end user is, if we're talking about the harmonic equipment, the end user are the cable companies and the other content providers, Dish TV, Satellite TV, Verizon BIOS. Those providers of television broadcast programming, those providers are the end users for purposes of the harmonic equipment. Now, the ultimate customer of harmonic's customer may be a person sitting at home watching their television, watching their TV stations and the various streaming that's coming through their TV. They may be watching it on a tablet. They may be watching it on a cell phone.
How do you define television content?
Content that's intended for use of any type of a broadcast station. So anything like a CNN, a TNC, ABC, NBC, CBS, anyone with a license to, you know, send and transmit the content, all of those entities have the right to do that.
So it's an FCC license? Anybody with an FCC license, if you don't have that, it's not television content.
I may be overstepping. I don't know if you absolutely need an FCC license to end up as television content. But the fact that the cable channels that are being compressed and encoded and multiplexed, all of those are channels that I believe do have FCC or are associated with the right to send out and transmit content.
So someone wanting to look at a YouTube video or something on their smartphone, that would not constitute television content.
I don't think that it would. I don't think because it's, I don't really know specifically, But I do know that with respect to Harmonic, Harmonic advised that their equipment was not used with respect to YouTube. They said that YouTube used software. So I do know that none of the encoders, multiplexers, or remultiplexers from Harmonic are used in connection with YouTube, according to the CEO of Harmonic.
Can you,
I don't know if that's television.
Can you offer up a very brief, you seem to place Harmonic equipment and software in just the position. Can you say very briefly what the importance of that distinction is and define what you mean by, I think you know what we mean by Harmonic equipment and what you mean by software rather than Harmonic equipment?
Yes, Your Honor. What I mean by that is the Harmonic equipment is the equipment that's at issue in this case. And the reason it's pertinent and important is that how one classifies that hard tangible encoder, multiplexer, and remultiplexer is how one will also classify the goods at issue in this case. The goods at issue in this case are not the Harmonic equipment, but the way the tariff is written, the fact that the circuit boards and the chassis assembled on behalf of Harmonic, that equipment that was imported into the United States, that's the subject equipment of this litigation. So it's PCBAs and chassis. And we classify based on where they were used and where they way that in some instances you do not actually need physical devices. You no longer need printed circuit boards or the chassis that they were selling previously in the 2010 to 2012 period, because he said that the advances have been such in this field that they're actually able to write software that will compress multiplex and remultiplex without needing the Harmonic equipment.
Okay, Ms. Farrell, I want to alert you, I think we're all experiencing this from your end, there's buffering and we're missing some of your comments. If I'm the only one, Steve, I think that's widely being experienced. Is that correct or is it just me?
Yes, Your Honor, her video seems to be lagging a little, but the audio was complete just a few minutes ago where we lost audio and visual for, I think, about 25 seconds or so.
Okay. So, Ms. Farrell, we're going to try to, if there's anything I think you can do to make sure we're hearing everything you're saying, just I said to Mr. Barlow, you do not want to miss that. Please follow through with that. We'll hope it clears up. And if not, we'll need to figure something else out because we're missing chunks of it.
Sorry, Your Honor. I guess it's just slow. The internet's slow.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I think I get your points on one, on question one. I'd like to move on to question two. There's enough relationship among these questions that if either of you wants to please comment on something that the other said, I think that occasion will rise as we go through. Mr. Barlow, I also want to start with you for question two. Please, if you would offer your comments on all three parts of that.
Thank you, Your Honor. Question two asks about the EMRs used in networks that may be configured as public switch telephone networks, LANs, which are local area networks, LANs, which are metropolitan area networks, and then wider area networks and LANs. But that term LANs versus LANs, they just refer to the size of the network. And are the EMRs actually considered used in these networks? Yes, the Demonic EMRs are configured for and used for public switch telephone networks, including the Footnote 20 of plaintiff's brief in support of his motion for summary judgment provides the supporting evidence in the record to which the court defendant submitted this in its response to plaintiff's statement of material facts. This fact is not an implication.
Sorry to interrupt. May I ask you to please everybody, I'm doing it. Only the person speaking should have an open mic. Please mute yourself. I'm hearing papers rattling. And we want to get through this argument. I want to be able to hear what the parties are saying. So please mute if you are not the speaker. Thank you, Mr. Ball. Please go on.
Yes, sir. Should I repeat or did you hear me okay, Your Honor?
Yes,
and my reference in the record to that was footnote 20 to our brief in support of the motion to summary judgment. And of course the fact was administered by the defendant in the statement of material facts. And then, Your Honor, I just wanted to briefly explain regarding how during the digital revolution, the harmonic EMRs were installed in legacy telephone networks to support providing digital television and internet connectivity in addition to phone services, and harmonic EMRs were installed in legacy cable TV networks to support providing digital internet and phone services. And now all these networks are broadband, open media communications networks handle a wide variety of audio and video content, including telephone conversations. So a consumer can now get TV, internet, and phone service from a company whose origin was any one of these services. And I think that's important. Counsel for the defendant earlier was talking about the legacy telephone versus the legacy TV companies buying the Harmonix equipment. And it was indicated or suggested that maybe that was because both of them were buying it to provide TV services. That's not true. Both of them were converting under the digital revolution to providing a wide range of audio video content from conferencing, phone conferencing, telephone calls, to a whole battle of Lucy programs, all being turned into digital data. I thought it was that one, Your Honor. Excuse
me?
The question is, are the EMRs used in land management lands for service other than television, or are the EMRs used in land management lands primarily for internet protocol TV, such as those provided by Verizon? Yes, the EMRs are used in networks providing services other than just TV programming. The networks using the 9 harmonic EMRs provide many forms of audio video content to their customers, not limited to IPTV. And the EMRs are used to compress many forms of audio and video content in these networks in which they are used. Regarding the example of Verizon, that was given in the question, telephone calls and video conferencing and other forms of audio and video content in addition to IPTV are handled by Verizon and compressed by the EMRs installed in that network. Again, Your Honor, we're talking about 2010 to 2012, which is the time period during which the product was imported, under the entries of the subject of this action, the conversion has been done to digital data communication networks, and all of the networks were all simultaneously providing audio-video communication content from a variety of different types. So all reduced to digital data passing concurrently through the same network, and as such, it's being compressed by the same EMR to make the network as efficient as possible. I have a brief quote here from Professor Schoenfeld's expert report in paragraph 39. Quote, the strong relationship between multimedia compression standards adopted for multimedia storage, video telephone, and other network applications such as video conferencing is a clear indication of the confluence of many of the technologies used for these very different multimedia applications. End quote. Companies that use the EMR use them to make more efficient networks that are currently handling a wide variety of audio, video, content, and digital form. I'll now move on to C, Your Honor, if I may. The question there was, does actual use matter or just capability? Why should a device that has a capability that is greater than just supporting a TV and radio programming food classification from heading in class 25? I think that's a very important question. The answer to that is this. Because a device that has a use and capability different from that described by heading 8525 is not classifiable in heading 8525. That is general rule of interpretation number one. Classify according to the terms of the headings. DMRs do not send signals out to other locations, so they are not described by the language, quote, transmission apparatus, end quote. There's a wide range of audio video content that is suppressed by the EMRs is not described by the language, quote, for radio broadcasting or TV, end quote. Your Honor, the WCO got it right. The EMRs are not described by the language of 8525. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Bond. One or two questions that they're trying to resolve. Is your point with respect to 8517 versus 8525 that the term transmission apparatus versus in 8525 versus apparatus for the transmission in 8517 that is the basis of the distinction that you are drawing, or is it that 8525 refers to radio broadcasting or television, and 8517 speaks of reception, transmission or reception of voice, images, or other data?
Excellent. Yes, Your Honor. Both. The description in 8525, the language is, it's transmission apparatus for radio broadcasting and television. So you need to satisfy both of those to be in 8525. So we have two arguments. One, it's not transmission apparatus because it's not sending signals to other locations. Two, it's not described by the term for radio broadcasting and television because it's not limited to radio broadcasting and television. It's in using networks to compress a wide range of different kinds of communications, and that wide range in different communications is not described by the more narrow descriptive term for radio broadcasting and television.
Okay, may I ask though, are you drawing a distinction yourself between the term transmission apparatus and apparatus for the transmission?
Yes, Your Honor, but I have to confess, I steal that from the World Customs Organization's opinion. I looked it directly from there, from the World Customs Organization's opinion, which that was the basis of their decision. And when they looked at a number of encoders and multiplexers, including a harmonic brand encoder, a harmonic brand multiplexer, not the models that are consistently subject to this civil action, but I think materially they're identical classification purposes. And in the WCO opinion, and I'm looking at the 4th September 2008, my system committee classification of three kinds of apparatus for television transmission as requested by Korea. I'll give another site there for the WCO citation committee to track down that. And it's like Susan Charlie 1367 even ever one example. It is exactly where the WCO drew the pin. Now, I'll read a very simple thing. This opinion is based on the argument that the function of the products at issue can't be regarded as transmission apparatus for television because each product at issue alone does not carry out the function of transmission apparatus provided for in the term of and they clarify that. And again, look at the example and the those four. And the four examples on the 8525 I've given, and we can't answer no. Now, it is clear that the product issue can be classified under 8525 only when the product at issue can carry out the issue function from the studio, main transmitter, or respective product itself alone. However, each product at issue alone performs only encoding, multiplexing, modulating, or converting respectively, audio, video, and data signals, so can it carry out the transmission function? So you see, Your Honor, if we don't go through that distinction, it's helping us understand the difference between transmission apparatus and 8525 for the transmission 8517.
So are you relying entirely on the WCO decision for supporting you about that distinction. Is there any other basis?
No, Your Honor. We're relying upon General Rule of Interpretation 1. So look at language of the tariff. And we're looking at the common meaning of the term transmission, meaning moving from one location to another. WCLK okay, we have guidance here. We think it's very helpful for guidance. And we're completely in line with that opinion of the survey. But if you're not closely relying on just the WCL, it's primarily of the heading. That's the most important thing that we're doing. And the common meaning of the term transmission.
So thank you. So Michelle, can I ask if you start on that very specific point, and then after that, invite any comments on all the questions.
Yes, Your Honor. With the point for the WTO, the reason, and this is a later question from Your Honor about the persuasiveness of that opinion. You're dealing with language that is, according to the GRIs and according to all case law, and just fundamentally, this is a statute. So we use the terms of the statute under all the authority from the Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit. You must use the common meaning of words. And so transmission apparatus, we see that the word apparatus, it's very specific here. We're not talking about transmitters. And the reliance on the explanatory note for 8525, there seems to be a great deal of reliance upon the fact that the word transmitter is in the explanatory note. Well, the one thing we know that is rock solid law, it's black letter, is that you cannot limit the heading, the language of a heading, by the explanatory notes. The fact that the explanatory notes for 8525 speak in terms of transmitter, that is seeming to be a concept that the World Customs Organization is saying, well, no, transmission apparatus has to be the transmitter. That's just wrong and simply incorrect. An apparatus is a broad term. The Ampex Court, the CCPA, understood that. Transmission is movement. There's no question that there's movement of data here. And there's no question that transmission doesn't have to be the transmitter, and it doesn't have to be the harmonic equipment. Rather, you just have to be moving digital information, which the equipment does, by compressing and by passing it along the trail, and you have to be apparatus for transmission. Ultimately, content comes into this system, and content goes out of this system, and it will be transmitted to an end user through a transmitter. But that's not what's at issue here. It's the transmission apparatus itself. And so it is those things along the path, because if we go back to the Ampex decision and we say, well, what this apparatus means, it means things that facilitate transmission. If you're in the process of helping to move things along, then you are transmission apparatus. And to take the transmission, to take the other term and to flip it, you know, apparatus for the transmission, that may be, in fact, more narrow, perhaps, but I think they should both mean the same thing. But if they don't, then transmission apparatus is the apparatus that Ampex found, which is that which facilitates transmission. And there's no question that the harmonic equipment does facilitate transmission in this day and age by allowing television broadcast, television programming, to pass through cable companies and satellite companies and telephony companies that are now broadband companies. It's allowing that content to pass by compression, allowing more channels to the end user. If we were only operating on a single channel, like a teleconference, okay? If we just had one teleconference, there's no need. We're all connected in. But if we have a Comcast system that has 3,000 channels, then you're going to need something that's compressing. So I think that we're dancing on the head of a pin here. We'll talk about transmission 4. I think that they made a distinction in the WCO opinion without a difference, and that transmission apparatus means everything that facilitates an apparatus for transmission. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. And so the fact that they came out in a different position that helped them is based on a misinterpretation of common language in a heading is why one ought not to follow it.
Okay, thank you for that. And do you have any comments on the rest of the issues under question 2?
Yes, Your Honor, I do. I'll try to be brief. They're talking about things may be configured. Yes, we admitted to that because it was in a declaration that it may be. Whether or not it was, there's nothing in the record specifically to that. Because the question was, are the EMRs actually configured and used in these networks? With respect to the public switch telephone network, we're not sure, but there's testimony that with respect to a man or a land, that it's possible that, you know, the way that the CEO from Harmonic described it, he said that, let's see, he said IPTV, for example, let's say for AT&T and Verizon, the video is being packaged up for delivery over a telephone network, which is generally delivered at the very end of a twisted pair of cable into the home. And it's not the old-style television cable, it's a higher bandwidth, but it's the same connection. And so he goes on to explain that that this equipment that's being used in, like, in that network is, for example, a man. If the metropolitan area network is around a very large area and a cable company may have their own fiber ring that is connecting different buildings that they own, different head ends for different sets of processing or recombining of signals, then a wide area network is somewhere in between. Somewhere in between those two, which is, and then the smaller one is the local area network, which he describes as just the facility itself, the building itself, as opposed to the ring around the building or a wider ring. So whether or not switch telephone networks are here, we don't know because there wasn't testimony for that, but there was testimony as to how cable works.
I guess, may I just ask you to address directly the last question in subpart C, why should a device that has a capability to be considered and thus supporting power include classification of 8525?
It should not, Your Honor, because 8525, again, let's look at the plain language of it. It's transmission apparatus for, it says radio broadcasting or television. So we can just pull radio broadcasting out because it's not an issue. So I guess the best way to say it is transmission apparatus for television. Is this under the terminology that as we define transmission and as we define apparatus based on the common meaning of those words? Is this for television? Yes, it is. There's no question that this is apparatus that's being used by cable, satellite TV, even local. There is what's called terrestrial, where a local ABC station or PBS will upload to a satellite. They're using the compression. So they're using these devices to facilitate that, and therefore it's satisfied. So, and there's nothing in this heading. It doesn't say transmission apparatus. Only for radio broadcasting or television. It just says transmission apparatus for television. So if that apparatus is used for in the family string of transmitting television content, then it falls within the plain language of 8525. So yes, there's no reason to preclude it from that heading. Absolutely not, because in fact it is found in the heading. It is described by the heading.
Does the subject merchandise have the capacity to be used in this telephone context?
According to the CEO of Harmonic, it could be used in other ways. But the predominant use that he discussed
He kept going back to cable television and kept going back to satellite TV. He didn't spend a lot of time talking about people doing video conferencing, et cetera. But there's no question, I don't think, that that could be so. But his customers, according to, were people providing television content.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to start with you on question three, where we're trying to get a better handle on the term transmission path that the Customs Service uses. And here, you said a moment ago, you talked about moving digital information. Can you describe exactly, mentioned that also when we were in our opening segment, can you describe exactly what that means and also answer the question, how do the data continue along the transmission path to eventually viewing? What exactly does the subject merchandise do to move the data?
The subject merchandise moves, is a facilitator of moving the data. It starts out, it itself moves the data because the data is digital. So as plaintiff's counsel was mentioning earlier, it's, you know, zeros and ones. And so the zeros and ones are coming downloaded from a satellite into the cable company or whatever transmitter's head, you know, their business where they have their server farms. And in that stream are these pieces of equipment. The encoders are taking data that is bigger and compressing it. So they have moved the data. They moved it from, obviously it's much smaller than this, but let's say they moved it from 2 inches down to a half of an inch. So you have now moved your location. You're no longer in the prior location that took up three-dimensional space that was 2 inches high. You're now taking up less space. You have data that is imported into the harmonic equipment, and then it comes out the other side compressed. That equipment is allowing.
So you're describing compressing data as movement of data, much like in the old trash compactors that people used until we realized that was not very good for our planet. You dump the trash in, the thing compresses it into a smaller box. That would have been movement of trash from this compressor?
Yes. If we're taking the definition of transmission, would it have been transmission of trash, which would be moving from one location to another? Yes. You've left. But we're not talking about a location that's a one-dimensional point. We're talking about location that is actually technically four-dimensional. It has height, it has width, it has depth, and it operates over time. And so those four dimensions, that data lives, it resides in those four dimensions. What these compressors, multiplexers, and remultiplexers are doing is moving, changing where that data is. And so that movement, that's a relocation of the data.
Is there anything that doesn't, under that definition, which you have to agree is pretty broad, can you tell me something that does not move data, that operates on data, but that does not move data?
A cassette tape? Do you put data onto a cassette tape and it stays stuck there until you press the button and it starts moving? But it's not in motion. It'll sit there. It'll sit in storage until you do something with it. So once it's been applied to a cassette tape, I would think that this, what we have here is a more dynamic. I'm trying to think of something that wouldn't move. I suppose a storage device until it's moved. until it's removed from that location. I mean, when we're talking about in a computer, for example, on if it's a solid state or, you know, or the old days when it had the rotating disk, there was a location there. And it would reside there until you reached in and took it and moved it. Perhaps with a Blu-ray disc. There's data on the disc. And until you access it through a Blu-ray light, the data is not being, you know, moved into a new location. So while its system resides on a storage, that may be the time that it's not moving. The only thing I can think of it are the various storage modalities.
Okay, so, and I'm going to jump ahead, if that's all right. I'm going to stay with you, jump ahead to question A, because I think that's what we're discussing here, the transmission path theory. So, if it's storage, then is it being stored in a different place when the data are compressed? Are they going to a different place?
I believe that they, my understanding from the testimony of the CEO of Harmonix was that it may, depending on what the cable company is doing with that data, they may be live streaming it or sending it out as it comes in, and it's just, you know, immediately going right back out, or it may be stored in another location for purposes of people who do on demand. So there's a location out there in a server farm where that data resides, that compressed data, and someone who is seeking an on demand viewing of a movie that's sitting on the storage device, you know, in that compressed way, can reach in, say, I want that. It will then come out, go along its path. And then when it gets to, and this was strange, I didn't realize this, but when it gets to your set top on your cable TV, apparently the set top does the decompression and de-encrypting to allow you to watch what you paid for through your subscription. That's my understanding.
So your argument is that when the set top box, presuming let's take this example and presuming it's accurate, when the set-top box decompresses the data, or when those data are compressed at some other point, that compression or decompression, there is movement of those data at that exact moment, even though they're sitting in the same memory chip.
I don't know that it's on the same memory chip, but yes, the compression of the data is movement of the data to make it little. And then there is the mushing of the data through multi and remulti, which merges it with other streams of information. And it doesn't stay, you know, apparently it's all literally mishmashed, like a vegetable stew. And then when it makes its way ultimately, because my understanding is that mishmash of the data, that it isn't like a perfect data point, you know, a data location of the entire, say, movie, for example, when it moves along, the decryption, it is the scrambling of these little packets of O's and 1's that is causing it to become encrypted. They scramble the signal, and so you might have a piece of, you know, Legends of the Fall and a piece of A River Runs Through It, two Brad Pitt movies, but they may be both residing in the same compressed area. When the person is ordering a lens of four, it's been scrambled together, all of those ones, all those packets. But when it gets ordered off on your laptop, your set top, it reaches out to the location where the scrambled data is, and it's intelligent enough to then grab it, unscramble it, and put it onto your television set. Or onto your cell phone if you're watching it on your cell phone.
But that's transmission. You're not saying that the subject merchandise does that. Subject merchandise isn't bringing the Brad Pitt movies into your home. They're compressing it within a single place, a location, wherever that physical location is.
That's right. They're getting the ozone-1s, and they're compressing it for storage, or they're compressing it to be moved through the transmission sequence. So is it a transmitter per se? No, but it is an apparatus for transmission in that, or I should say it's transmission apparatus. To me, those terms are interchangeable. But it's transmission apparatus because it is facilitating. It's a specific device, an apparatus, to facilitate.
Yes, I understand the facilitate, although you call it it's moving and it's facilitating movement. Is it your argument that it is facilitating movement or that it is actually moving data?
To me, it is doing both. It is actually moving data because by compressing it is forced to do that.
Okay.
I don't know if you're hearing me, but my computer just blanked out on me. But it is both moving, and it is also facilitating the ultimate transmission to the desk, to the end user of the customer.
I understand how it's facilitating. I don't think I understand how it's moving. But can you then, jumping to question A, where does the transmission path begin and end? Can you try to address that question succinctly, if I might ask?
Sure, Your Honor. The transmission path begins with the generation of the content. So that may be whatever camera or device is capturing the content. And it concludes when it gets to the receiver for your television or in your handset or whatever.
Okay, great. And what products, I think we discussed this earlier, what actually lies outside of the transmission path? If you could give me an example.
Well, I think things like the receiver on the set-top box, I think that is outside of the transmission path. I mean, it's the end point, but it's outside of the transmission path. It's possible. I don't know all the inner workings.
I'm sorry, I don't understand that. I thought you said it ends when I'm watching the movie at home. And the receiver.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, they have over, maybe it wasn't clear enough on that statement then, forgive me. What I mean is the transmission is descending, the receiver is receiving. So the minute that data has gotten through its path and has landed at the point of being received, it ends transmission. And now becomes receiving, and that generally is at the television set because that's where the receiver is, or at the device. If it's an iPad, there's the receiver, the ability to receive in there.
When I'm watching it, is that part of the transmission path?
No. It's that part of the receiving path.
All right.
The receiver had to get it and unscramble it.
So the receiver that unscrambles it is part of the transmission path, correct?
No, I don't think so, Your Honor. I think it's a receiver. I think transmission ends when receiving begins.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Carlo, could you comment on the question of moving the data that we were in question three, as well as the transmission path theory of question eight?
Yes, Your Honor. Three asks, well, if these wires are not sending the signal out, so how does that happen? It's true the Internet product cannot send signals to other locations, and in order for the data to reach the customer for viewing and listening, the data must be sent out to those customers' devices by a different set of equipment called transmission equipment. The exact type of transmission equipment used will vary on the medium over which the data will be transmitted, and I think I'll just make that statement because there's more of that in the record that gets into the details, but whether the data being transmitted is going through the air or up to a satellite or over coaxial or fiber optic cables, we have other equipment that is called transmission equipment, such as an antenna and modulators and things. And if one were to look, Your Honor, at the There's a diagram that Harmonic had created back in the day during the times of these entries for explaining the use of this EMR, and that's found that it's going to be the famous brief, and also has reviewed the Professor Schoenfeld's report at pages 13 through 15. If one looks at that diagram, one can see clearly there's reception equipment, then there is encoding and multiplexing compression equipment, and then there is, this is all in the same facility, it's an example of a TED. And then there is the transmission equipment, which is the modulators and the antenna. And it's pretty clear that Brian Armstrong and Neuberg declarations and in Professor Schoenfeld's report, no one has ever called the harmonic EMR transmission equipment. And if I may, moving on to question 8, unless you have questions about 3, Your Honor.
Mr. Barlow, thank you.
Okay, I'll proceed. Ink asks about the term transmission path, which is the theory under which the government's proceeding. I think it's important to note that the phrase transmission path occurs nowhere in the tariff. It's an agency prescribed classification rule that appears to affect like itself and fabricate under the former tariff for census. And it does not acknowledge the changes made in 2007 to the harmonized tariff system that the WCO has indicated covers things like the EMR. And if we believe that if the government's transition path theory classification will allow to stand, many things properly classified outside of 8525 would be grabbed and thrown into a heading 8525, even though they're provided for elsewhere. And we know that in large part because of customs rulings that put products that appear to fall within the definition of the government's transition path idea, and yet when customs ruled on the classification of these products, they put it somewhere else. And that detail could be found in our brief for our motion for summary judgment, footnote 27 and 28, and our reply brief at 20. But two brief examples, Cisco routers, we know according to the diagram provided by Harmonic, are located physically between the harmonic encoders and harmonic multiplexers. So any definition of transmission path that encompasses both encoders and multiplexers must mean that the Cisco routers are within the transmission path, but that customs classifies the Cisco routers in 8517. Another example would be coaxial cables. There's an EML made provision in 8544, identifies coaxial cables. Customs has, of course, classified it there. So, why are they not within the transmission path and being thrown into 8525? Your Honor, we feel that a not very well-defined classification doctrine that reclassifies items contrary to the intent of the tariff, and that seems to be frequently overlooked by the very agency they created, is not an effective alternative compared to the field classification report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barlow. Can I ask, why should the 2007 decision invalidate the Customs Service transmission path approach?
I'm sorry, I lost you for a second. Why does the 2007 amendment to the tariff schedule?
Correct. I'm sorry.
Because it added the language that describes this merchandise, and it was done intentionally, it was added intentionally to describe this merchandise. Apparatus for the transmission of voice, images, or other data for use in the network. The type of data, the use in the network, and then for transmission, meaning you can't do transmission, but does not itself perform a transmission function. The fact that that language was added to, in 2007 to heading 8517, indicates that language was created to provide for this equipment. You know, the tariff schedule, we often say, is an attempt to identify a category for everything being traded around the world globally. And new products are created over time. And with the digital revolution and these encoders and multiplexers, The WCL, the drafter of the harmonized tariff, you know, created this new language in 8517 to provide for it. And the explanatory notes, excuse me, 2007 to provide for it. And the explanatory notes, which it does multiple added to it.
I understand and I agree with that. I don't understand why it should invalidate customs theory.
Well, customs theory of in the line of transmission, and I have to struggle myself to kind of in my mind and look at it from their point of view. But you know, again, the in the line of transmission does not appear anywhere in the tariff schedule. The 2007 language would be directly contrary to any constant transmission. If something is for the transmission, it would fall within the transmission line constantly. Also recorded by the language of 8517 for the transmission. So I think that that new language they added back in 07, it's clear that the government's application theory about line of transmission is not valid. And again, you know, I think that was developed under the two system. It had very different tariff language and tariff competition. And it has no place under the harmonized system after 2007.
Okay. Mr. Barlow, I'd like to stay with you, and if possible, I'd like to go through the number of ruling letters that you cite to at footnote 28 in your brief. Just go through them. I can understand their pertinence, your view of their pertinence to the case. And I'd like to go through each, and I could just ask you on this trial to offer very brief comments on each. So starting with the New York ruling letters M87074 and M30903, it's unclear to me what the relevance of 8525 is, given that video conferencing equipment seems distinct from equipment related to television transmission. Can you explain how these two ruling letters are examples of customs defining the use of transmission path theory relevant to this case?
Thank you. Is that directed towards me, Your Honor?
To you first, if I can take three comments from you and then Ms. Brown, and then we'll go on to the next ruling letter.
Thank you. Were these the rulings from footnote 27? I have a little difficulty hearing. Was it 8? Was it 97631? Was that the ruling cited, Your Honor?
No, I'm sorry. It's footnote 28.
Footnote 28, thank you.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Please take a moment. It's M87074 and M301902.
87074, got that one. And the other one, Your Honor, which was that again?
It's also N-Y-N-301-903.
Yeah, 301-903, I see that, thank you. Well, in the M-87074 ruling, Customs determined that a device that sends video images like in a video conference system, cannot be classified as any 8525 because, and I believe I'm quoting directly from the ruling here, it does not broadcast to a large population as a broadcast device would. And that certainly would drive much of that subject today, Your Honor. As to ruling N301903, that equipment used in video conferencing, again, is in your conferencing example, but classified as 8517. And I found it interesting that in that point, so decided not to mention it in the transmission period. That one.
And Ms. Farrell, a comment, please, on those two. Ms. Farrell, I think your mic is off.
Thank you, Your Honor. You're absolutely right. I'm sorry about that. There's nothing in these documents that indicates that the equipment that's being discussed is in any way, shape, or form similar to the equipment here. With respect to not broadcasting, I don't know what they meant by that, but it, to the extent that they're saying it wasn't generalized television and wasn't capable of providing television content to anyone who wanted to watch it, then that would make sense because 8525 says for television. So without knowing what specifically that equipment was, I can't say. And again, rulings apply only to the good that's in the ruling. And so to the extent the good that we have here is different than what's in the ruling, then it's technically inapplicable. In 903, there was no mention of a transmission past theory. I don't know what was going on with that equipment. The equipment used in video conferencing, if it was the device that is like a telephone receiver, then there wouldn't be a discussion about transmission paths. So I don't know that either of these is relevant. Again, it's not the equipment at issue here that we're trying to understand.
I'm trying to understand the term transmission path. The transmission path involves only a television signal and not other kinds of transmission?
For purposes of this heading, that I don't know whether or not it's been used. Your Honor, I don't want to mislead the court. I don't know whether Customs has ever used the term transmission path in other perspectives, but the idea of a transmission path here under heading 8525 is being derived from the common meaning of the phrase transmission apparatus, because it's apparatus is things that facilitate transmission. So things that are assisting in that process and that will ultimately lead to transmission. Not transmitter, not the ultimate act of the transmitting, but rather transmission to get to the point of a transmitter. All the things that facilitate that for television, in order to have people have access to television content, then that's a transmission path. I don't know whether or not that's been used in other contexts, but it comes from a common meaning. It is maybe perhaps a colloquialism and a shorthand way of explaining what it is to be transmission apparatus consistent with the decision in Amtrak.
Does transmission path theory apply only to 8525 and not 8517, which also has the term transmission apparatus in it?
I think that it may be also the same thing, but with respect to if that transmission is for television, you're excluded from 8517 in that scenario.
Oh, I understand. I'm just trying to figure out what this term means. The government seems to put a lot of weight on that. Mr. Heidrich, do you have any comment on what the term transmission path means and how it pertains to the heading?
Your Honor, no, I'm sorry, I'm not able to add anything to that. I didn't know if this has also been used in 8517 or if this is something that's limited to 8525, but, we could certainly update, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. Okay, Mr. Barlow, the next ruling we cite to is Headquarters Ruling H118695, September 2010. Customs classified video editing equipment in 8543. Customs determined that the video editing process occurs outside of the television transmission path does not fall under 8525. Doesn't Customs invocation of the transmission path theory in that letter actually support the idea that Customs is applying this theory consistently?
Sometimes they apply the transmission path theory, Your Honor. And sometimes they ignore it altogether, don't even mention it, and give a ruling that classifies something very different from where it would have been classified if they applied the transmission path theory. In this ruling we're discussing, your equipment used to edit video content for storage prior to transmission was not classified in 8525 because it was considered to be outside the transmission path. So that is an example of such a ruling, customs applying the transmission path theory and using it to identify something that's outside what you call the path. Again, there are many rules where one would think because the item would appear to be within the concept of transition path, the customs would raise the transition path classification for the site. Unfortunately, this is one of the few where it was applied to their headquarters. So I think I see an inconsistent use of this transition path theory in the record and path release. And I think that undermining its credibility relative to, for example, the position taken by the customer.
Okay, and Ms. Farrell, any brief comment on that reporter's ruling?
Sorry, Your Honor. I would note that it was a headquarters ruling, so therefore it carries more weight than the New York ruling. And it is consistent, as Your Honor recognizes, with this concept that we do recognize transmission paths being in or being out. And in that case, it was people doing editing prior to the advent of the transmission. Here, this equipment is facilitating transmission by compressing and allowing more data to get through the cable system.
Okay, Mr. Barlow, I want to go on to another ruling letter you cite in the footnote. It's another New York ruling, N285226. This one comes in under GRI 3C. How is that letter pertinent to this case?
In that ruling, equipment used to record and edit live television broadcasts before transmission was classified in 85.43 without any reference to the transmission path. You're on a point in that, they were using GRI 3C, is that what you said?
Yes.
Then the classification was done according to a number of different rulings, all under which the product seemed to be prima facie classifiable, and they picked the one last in order. Whereas in our case, we're in the GRI. I would actually predict that the use of GRI 3C ruling takes this not applicable to our GRI discussion.
Okay. We'll also cite to to headquarters ruling H097678. And there, customs determined that the transmission path theory was not relevant, because it was the only issue was under the subheading of 8544. Doesn't this suggest that customs actually does have some parameters that they apply to the transmission path theory? So that's more confident than
that. Well, this one's interesting. The subject product here was coaxial cables. Customs classified it here in 8544. Again, I think we mentioned our discussion earlier that there is an EO nominate provision, as I recall, for such cables. One does not see this ruling system having discussion of, well, we have this transmission tax here that on one hand would suggest classification is just like 25, but on the other hand, that's conflicting with an economic system specifically mentioned. We don't see that kind of analysis in going to you. We see the agency completely not having all the transition class arguments and following the economic I heard some background noise too, I'm sorry. I think the absence of the inspection of the transmission path here in town.
Okay, one last thing, Mr. Barlow. Is Sal, do you have any comment on that? By the way, Mr. Barlow, there's a little bit of variation in your mic, so I just want to make sure. I heard everything you said, but I've never known that. Ms. Sal, any quick comment on that one?
Just that obviously the equipment's not the same, and whether or not there was a GRI-3 analysis, I don't know. It may have just been because it was simply a dispute over a subheading that the analysis wasn't as deep, and there was no need to get into a transmission path discussion.
Okay. Okay, last one, Mr. Barlow, Ms. Farrell. This is New York ruling R02506. You're citing this decision in which Customs classified an optical transmitter, a principal use of voice and data transmission in 8517. In that headquarters ruling H005123, Customs distinguished the merchandise in the ruling I cited, the New York rule, from the encoders into which flex-suspended circuit assemblies are assembled on the basis that the former transmits telephonic data signals. Do you agree with that distinction? And is the type of signal that passes through a harmonic encoder a telephonic data signal?
I'm not sure if I know what's meant by telephonic data signal. Certainly it is the case that of all the audio, video, digital content passing through a harmonic encoder, some of it is telephone conversation. If that's what's being suggested, I would agree with that.
Okay, Ms. Dowell, any comments?
Well, Your Honor, looking at that ruling, it looks like they're using the term transmitter, the actual transmitter. So the concept of whether or not something is in a transmission path is irrelevant because it's not transmission apparatus. Rather, it's a transmitter.
So the transmitter itself is not in the transmission path.
Well, it would be, Your Honor, but I'm saying for purposes of understanding the apparatus, transmission apparatus, I mean, there's no question that a transmitter, it's one doesn't need to discuss path because it is the last stop on the train. So it's simply transmitting the information.
So the transmitter is in the transmission path.
A transmitter would be in the transmission path, but you wouldn't need to discuss it in the perspective of what transmission apparatus is, because you know that this is a transmitter, so it's a defined term.
Okay.
It is the thing that is doing the transmitting.
Okay. All right. I think we may have covered, we are up to question 4 out of 10. I don't think that that's an indication that we're only 40% of the way through our conversation here, because I think we've covered a number of points and some other questions, but I do want to go through them. And question 4, I'm going to ask Mr. Barlow to start. Again, reminding everyone, please turn off your mics unless you're actually speaking. So, Mr. Barlow, would you give us your comment on question 4, please?
Yes, sir, Your Honor. And are you hearing me clearly now? Okay, thank you. Question 4 asks, while the harmonic product may not be necessary for transmission of a signal, is the equipment necessary for transmission of a signal of particular speed and quality for modern TV viewing? In other words, would a current service provider that utilizes harmonic products be able and willing to create transmission signals without the equipment? Your Honor, the harmonic products are not necessary for transmission, but they permit more data to be stored and transmitted. If the harmonic equipment were removed, there would be no problem transmitting signals, but the signal transmitters could not convey the full array of audio video data as with the EMRs. That is why EMRs are put for the transmission, because they enhance transmission but do not perform the transmission function. Your Honor, companies use the EMRs because they make their networks more efficient. If a network were to operate without EMRs, it would still be able to transmit data, but that uncompressed data would consume so much storage space and bandwidth in the network that the additional cost in storage space and bandwidth to compensate for the loss of EMRs would be very expensive.
So that is a crystal clear answer, and I appreciate it. So is it fair to say that without the subject merchandise, that a business that transmits television signals such as the movies that Ms. Farrell was talking about, they literally could not do that in a speedy enough and cost effective enough manner, because they would have to have such large quantity of fiber optic cable or whatever the medium was.
Exactly, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you again for a crisp, clear answer. I appreciate it. Ms. Farrell?
I agree with Mr. Barlow's point, and to further say that the CEO of Harmonic explained that back in the 90s when it was analog TV, and people didn't have that many channels, and he said, you're able to, these folks that are using these encoders and multiplexers, the EMRs, they're able to increase their channel count from what was maybe a few tens of channels to several hundred channels, and now we know thousands of channels. And that's because the compression allows the delivery of more channels. A cable or any television provider who seeks to have subscriptions that is only providing tens of channels would be in the bankruptcy court probably within a day.
Okay, thank you both for that. I think I'm looking at question five. Let me ask the details from each of you. Why does, start with Mr. Barlow, why does the post-2007 amendment that includes the phrase apparatus for the transmission, why does that support the inclusion of Harmonic products in 2517? Yeah, sorry, 8517. Mr. Barlow, I think your mic isn't on.
Yeah, thank you. I hope that. Are you able to hear me now, sir?
I can. Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you. I think I'll be brief because I think I covered some of this in a previous question. The new language added to heading 8517 back in 2007, the court's classification of the Harmonic product in that heading, because the new language describes the Harmonic product. Again, that's GRI number one. The new language added in 2007, apparatus for the transmission or reception of voice, images, or other data, including apparatus for communication with a network, describes the EMR and was added specifically to provide for the EMR. And we know that was the intent because of the new explanatory note also added in 2007, and of course because of the World Customs Organization opinion. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
And yes, Your Honor, the concern Your Honor raised earlier about 8517 swallowing up a lot of other provisions is right here. But we noticed that the drafters did not remove the exclusion that still says that if the product is transmission apparatus for television, it will be excluded from 8517. And so we have what satisfies the heading of 8525, and by satisfying that heading, it cannot be in 8517. The 2007 language did not do anything to remove that exclusion, so that exclusion stands.
Thank you, Ms. Bell. Ms. Bell, can I ask you to comment on question 6?
Yes, sir. With respect to this, Your Honor, we were just making the point that in the heading, radio broadcasting is a very specific term. And if we look at the explanatory notes, the limitation that's on radio broadcasting is that the group must be for the transmission of signals by means of electromagnetic waves transmitted through the ether without any line connection. Whereas with respect to television apparatus, that is both by electromagnetic or by line. So it's more broad. The language that we see in the description in the explanatory notes indicates that it's more broad. And also, just relying again on the common meaning of the language.
Thank you, Mr. Bauer. Does that help the government? The fact that the television broadcasting term in 85.5 is not as narrowly circumscribed as the radio broadcasting provision?
You know, it's interesting. We had a little discussion on that internally some time ago. In 85.5, the language, I believe it's radio hyphen broadcasting, so broadcasting is modifying the term radio. And that makes sense because radio could be broadcast, meaning you're sending signals out of one program at one time to anyone wants to tune in to listen to it, as opposed to a two-way communication can be done with the radio too. Whereas the term television does not have that we're broadcasting modifying it. We've seen some definitions of television that indicate that the word television assumes broadcasting in television broadcasting, but we did not see that consistent throughout the definition. But again, you know, you have to, if you classify something in 85.25, you have to put the meaning of for radio broadcasting or television. And if you're equipment handling, video conferencing, and other things, you're not really being described by that.
Thank you. Yeah, you said, but not consistent throughout the definition.
Yes, yeah, after the definitions we looked at, many of them did not indicate that the term broadcasting was assumed when one spoke of television. We couldn't find clarity in the definitions on that.
The definitions of television.
Yes, sir. In other words, we had a discussion with your witness on this, you know, the term television not casting the television program.
Doesn't that help though the government's position?
I don't see how, because again if the EMR is able to compress a video conferencing, telephone calls, and a wide range of things, I do not see how, no matter how broad the definition of television is, even if it's not in the broadcast, no matter how broad the definition of television is, I do not see how it, that definition would encompass what we're doing now, or how that definition up your phone and voice over your foot phone. It's just an oral conversation back and forth. Well, I guess the answer that I not understand how that helps.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Farrell, do you understand how that helps your case?
Yes, Your Honor. That the terminology, as Mr. Barlow observed, that there's a broad range of what television means, and it is not limited to broadcasting, television broadcast, because that potentially could, arguably, one could say that a television broadcast is only that which is being broadcast from the studio. So television here, lacking the word broadcast, in the face of radio broadcasting, which is narrowing itself with the word broadcasting, the tariff is suggesting that it is a broader term. So television should be perceived to be broader. And in fact, there are definitions that show the breadth of television And I further note that that heading, while it's not using broadcasting in connection with television, it is also not using only or solving. It says if it's transmission apparatus for television. So that apparatus is for television, and we have it here, that it is. Cable companies are using it. Then it satisfies the heading.
And I think from our earlier conversation, I don't want to rehearse that, but you said it probably was not someone clicking on a YouTube video on the phone, but weren't able to necessarily give us a dividing line between the video content that we're currently engaged in and what, which I think you said was not television, and the YouTube, which I think you also said was not television. And what is television? Where that line actually lies?
I'm not entirely sure. I think that perhaps YouTube, someone may consider it television. I mean, I know there are subscriptions on it now. So, if it is some knucklehead like me trying to upload some goofy video, that may not be television. It's just me being silly. But there are channels on YouTube, so it's possible that within the broad definition of television, that YouTube may fall in there. I don't know, and I can't speak on behalf of the agency with respect to whether or not that would be considered television. I just don't know.
How should the court come up with a decision in this case if we don't understand what the meaning of the key term is?
Well, I think we do understand the meaning of the key term. I just don't know whether or not YouTube might fall within that construct, but I do know that cable television, which is who purchased the harmonic equipment, they're sending out a television signal. I mean, they have many channels that are television channels. So I think that we still, nevertheless, satisfy the heading 8525, even if we don't understand whether or not YouTube is considered to be television.
So are you asking, you mentioned earlier the purchasers, predominant purchasers of the subject merchandise and the apparatus into which the subject merchandise goes. Are you urging a youth approach to the court construing 8525 with 8517 here?
I don't know that it's a youth. I don't believe that it's a youth provision. I believe that television apparatus, transmission apparatus for television. It may not be a use provision per se, but I think it would be informed by use. We see that in the recent Ford decision from the Federal Circuit, in which they found that motor vehicles for the principally designed for the transport of persons wasn't a principal use provision. However, it was a provision that was informed by use. So I think that this is a provision, while it may not be actual principal use technically, that the language does suggest use informed. So the fact that we do know the purchases of this equipment to the CEO of Harmonix were cable companies and satellite providers, we know for sure that television is being provided through, that television transmission is what is at issue here. And there may be more, but without a doubt, television is definitely involved because it's cable, satellite dish, as well as terrestrial broadcast networks like local ABC or NBC stations, as well as CNN and ESPN doing their own, using the harmonic equipment to send their own signals.
Mr. Barlow, any comment on Ms. Farrell's discussion earlier and now of the predominant users of the apparatus in which the subject merchandise goes?
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, I agree completely with counsel for the government that this is not a use provision. It's not classification of according to use. Or principal interaction use is not under this provision. I agree with your statement that the use of the product described as characteristic, and that must be classified as described by the product itself. And so Your Honor, previously in our discussion today, you asked about the two aspects of our one being that is this transmission apparatus on the one hand, and then is this for television on the other? And right now we're talking about and I think as Your Honor noted, the definition for television, analysis a little more. Difficult, but the issue of is it transmission apparatus is much more clear, and of course on the WTO opinion, you can focus on that. To be a 25 FB transmission apparatus, transmission of location, then you don't go any for 25. Now, you still think the argument for transmission can be made here.
Can we turn to question 7? The parties agree that it is incorrect to state that MPEG-2 is specific to television transmission. So Ms. Fowle, why is this not changed the government's position here?
It doesn't change the government's position, Your Honor, because MPEG-2 is just an algorithm for compressing pixels, but even if it's not specific to television transmission, the fact is it doesn't change the fact that this equipment falls within the heading of 8525's definition.
I'm sorry, say that last sentence again, please.
The fact that the MPEG-2s are not limited or specific to television transmission doesn't negate the fact that the purchasers of the harmonic equipment are cable companies who are being paid to provide television programming, as well as Dish and CNN and ESPN, and so there's no question whether or not MPEG-2 is an algorithm being used. It's a compression or an algorithm data for pixels, generally for CDs, but it's also being used in the production of the content that ultimately is part of the transmission for television, then it's not going to affect whether or not the government's position is correct.
Okay, Mr. Barlow, do you have a comment?
Yes, Your Honor. If use of a format thought to be exclusive to TV is evidence of classification as, quote, for TV, then use of a format that is not limited to TV should be evidence of classification of something other than specifically, quote, for TV. The record shows the harmonic product's characteristics and features, such as the use of MPEG-2 formatting, reflect their use to handle a wide range of audio, video, digital data, the scope of which exceeds TV. Accordingly, we believe the EMRs are not, quote, for TV in heading 8525. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Bounce back to you very briefly, Ms. Bell. Succinct statement by Mr. Bellow. If it's, the government argues that a use limited to television is 425, then why doesn't their use that is not specifically limited to television? Mr. Barlow, if I'm paraphrasing correctly, why does that not move us out of 85?
Because it's for television, even though it's not exclusively for television, because the heading doesn't require exclusivity, it doesn't require solely, it doesn't require only. It merely means to be for television, which is what is happening here. As Mr. Barlow said, it's broad, and it covers the content that is for television.
Mr. Barlow, can I ask back to you, or is it why does it kick us out? Does heading 8525 require that it be exclusively to television?
Well, the language of Heading 85.5 is for radio broadcasting or television. If you're classifying something that does handle, that is not for radio or television, but it's for video conferencing, for speak time, for just audio telephone calls, then language in the heading is not describing this product completely. It's only describing a part of that product. Under the former Fair Schedule of the there was something called a more than doctrine, and the court has made clear that we do not use that now in the Harmon Act system because the GRI, particularly GRI 1, you know, does look at the language of the heading. You don't have to see it's more than or less than or whatever. It's not really describing the product you have, but it's kind of sad to classify it under that kind of heading.
If only 1% of the use was for television, would it still fall under 85.5?
I think, Your Honor, it would because it's not a principal use provision. And the fact that 85.17 has an exclusion for 85.25.
Thank you. Okay, late in this conversation, let's talk some Latin. We haven't talked much Latin. It's a legal proceeding. No legal proceeding could be complete if we didn't throw around some words in Latin. So let's talk existing generic. Mr. Barlow, I think you brought this up, and Section 9 is directed towards cash.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. And to a certain extent, I regret bringing it up, but I am a customs law geek, and I love discussing the different doctrines. But I would like to point out first, this is important, the court does not have to apply as use in generis in order to reach the correct result in this case. The important point regarding the explanatory notes to heading 8525 is that the examples provided as to what is classifiable as transmission apparatus are all items that perform the function of sending signals to other locations. The ENs to 8525 do not name or describe data compression equipment or multiplexing equipment, for example, in contrast to ENs 8517, which do name multiplexers. So one does not need to apply these to generous proof now. But however, as an aside, I'm confused by the defendant's position on a juice for generous. If I understand correctly, they're saying, Juice and Generous, just to recap, we all know the rule of statutory construction, sometimes used to interpret tariff classification terms. So the rule of statutory construction is not primary in terms of coming to a conclusion, but can provide help. I understand that the defendant is, if I'm understanding correctly, I'll let Ms. Farrell comment. I understand the defendant to be saying that you would only use the juice and generous if the list is exclusive. In other words, if the tariff says, okay, there's three things classified under this head, product A, product B, product C. Then in that situation, you would use the juice and generous. But that doesn't make sense to you because if there's an exclusive list saying it's only product A, B, and C that goes in this heading, you would not need to refer to the juice and generous to see if something not named there shares the similar characteristics and therefore would be classified thereunder. So I do not understand the defendant's position on a Houston generous case, Your Honor, but
I'm not sure that's right, but I'll let Ms. Farrell write in terms of describing your argument, but I'll let Ms. Farrell speak for herself.
All right, thank you, Your Honor. Our position on the Houston generous is that it is for the tariff heading that says A, B, C, and the like, A, B, C, and similar articles. And what you then have to do is figure out to be a like, and to be a similar article, you have to go back to the A, B, C, and figure out what makes them all hang together. We don't have that situation here because we have an eonominate provision. We have transmission apparatus for television. So what's happening here is that in a just and generous argument, is trying to be used on an explanatory note. But the explanatory note So first we point out the fact that this is not an just in generis event, because we don't, it doesn't say that, trend, you know, this, and similar articles. It says this group includes, it includes things that are transmitters. Every one of those articles is a transmitter, but the heading itself doesn't use the word transmitter. It says transmission apparatus. Apparatus that's serving the purpose of the ultimate transmitter, or the article that will actually do the last step and transmit. If you're part of the facilitation of that under this heading, 8525, and this goes back to the Ampex decision in CCPA, that apparatus is a very broad term. If it were only transmitters, then the heading would say transmitters for radio broadcasting or television, and it most specifically does not. So the language transmission apparatus, both of those terms broaden this heading for television, not television broadcast, but for television. Even that, so what we have are all words that hang together to make the heading bigger. And Plaintiff is trying to suggest the fact that transmitters are being mentioned here. So we say transmitters for radio broadcasting or TV, relay apparatus used to pick up a broadcast and transmit it. So again, another transmitter. Relay television transmitters and television transmitters. All of these are transmitters, but the heading cannot be limited by the explanatory notes. That's black letter law. And so this heading, which uses broad words, transmission, apparatus, and television, cannot be so limited.
So I'll follow up. What is the difference for purposes of applying the existing generic theory between a list, as you say, that has A, B, C, and then D as other similar articles versus an indicative list, as we have here, which says that these things, including these things, doesn't that aren't those two essentially the same thing to put this in the system generic?
They're not, Your Honor. By stating that this group includes, it's indicative of what is in the heading, but it doesn't terminate the heading. Whereas for a just in generis is a tool when you're left with an unnamed item, a like article, similar article. Then you have to try to figure out, are you similar to? Here, they're simply saying, in this heading, which is very broad and doesn't use the word transmitter, FYI, transmitters are among the things that would fall in there. That's really all that's being said here. There's no need to get into an existing generis analysis here. It doesn't make any sense. It's just simply saying, oh, by the way, this list, these items that we're mentioning, they will fall in the heading, but ultimately, this explanatory note cannot narrow the plain language of the heading. And as we've explained in our briefing, that heading is rather large. It's broad. And there's no exclusion that it be limited only, excuse me, there's no exclusivity or limitation upon television that the apparatus only be able to broadcast to television, transmit to television. There is no such limitation, so we cannot use explanatory notes to limit the heading. We need to use common meaning.
Mr. Barlow, I want to bounce back to you, and are you trying through the explanatory notes to limit the scope of 8525? If not, why not?
Your Honor, we do not think that the explanatory notes limit the scope of 8525. We think that the explanatory notes exemplify and reflect the scope of 8525. The explanatory notes are going to give guidance. They're created by the drafters of the pair, World Cup of Learning Function. The World Cup of Learning, the explanatory notes 8525 gives examples of products that change the publication. And the explanatory notes 8517 name what? So we think that, reference the book explanatory notes is helpful in deciding where the subject merchandise is coming from. But we're not trying to use the explanatory notes. I understand that the example giving the explanatory notes on counter to the position of a broad definition of transmission of traffic, which means things within the stream of transmission. He states that the experience here notes that 85.5 are the constructions of the language of the head.
Are the terms apparatus for the transmission and transmission apparatus, are both terms broader than the word transmitter?
I think that the term transmission apparatus would mean transmitter, but the term apparatus for the transmission would mean something that's not the transmitter, but that somehow contributes to the use of the transmission functions performed by other equipment.
Is Carol, any comment on that?
Again, we stand on the plain language of the heading, and the drafters specifically did not use the word transmitter, and the meaning of apparatus, which was construed by the CCPA, and the common meaning that are in dictionaries, indicate any type of a device or equipment tool that facilitates. And so transmission apparatus are things that facilitate transmission. The actual transmitting is not something that facilitates transmitting. It does the transmitting. So a transmitter is not an apparatus that's facilitating transmission. It is causing the transmission. So I think that there's a difference. And the fact that the heading does not include the word transmitter is very specific, but I think the explanatory note is saying to the world, as guidance, oh, by the way, the fact that they didn't use the word transmitter doesn't mean it's not in the heading.
Mr. Barlow, transmitter does appear in 85.557, right? So if the drafters had wanted to say transmitter in the heading, they could have done so.
They could have used any language they wanted to put in the head. That's correct.
But wouldn't the use of that word further down in the subheading suggest that they did indeed mean something more broad than they used transmission apparatus in the heading?
The fact that there's a subheading that specifically mentions transmitters under a heading that has the language transmission apparatus does not necessarily imply that transmitters are only one category of product with transmission apparatus. They transmitters because they send signals from one location to another. In the leading of the team transmission apparatus, if there were another subheading that had something that did not send signals from one location to another, and that might fell within the transmission apparatus language, that would be it. And I note that, you know, 10.85.25 covers cameras and things as well, so I'm just sticking within the one page provision, transmission apparatus.
Okay, last question. We'll go to Ms. Powell. First, why do you not find convention the WTO decision Mr. Barlow relies on?
Your Honor, because of the distinction that's made between suggesting the difference between transmission apparatus for television versus apparatus for transmission, this is kind of it's a difference. It's a distinction without a true difference, as far as we can tell. And the common meaning of the words that are in our heading are inconsistent with this analysis. This heading is ignoring the fact, it's trying to say that you can only be for the only transmitting television. And that's just simply not so. So we think that the WTO is not persuasive because it is an improperly narrow reading of what is a broad heading when one construes the common meaning and the absence of the word transmitter.
Mr. Barlow, any comment on the WTO? I think we've touched on it a bit.
Yes, Your Honor. Per the Cummins case, the WTO opinion should be followed when it represents a workable and capable classification approach. recognized expertise of the WCO as a creator of the RNI system therapy. And Your Honor, the WCO approach to this case is just from 8405. 8525 covers equipment that sends signals to other locations, and 8517 covers equipment that does not send signals to other locations, but that does prepare data for more efficient strategy. Contrast that here in 8205, earlier on, with the proposed classification by the government using a transitional test, which we believe is contrary to the express intent of the CFS. And especially if the WCO opinion comports with the common meaning of the transparency standard both in the expert and commercial testimony. We think that the WCO opinion, their analysis concept, it prefers the evidence classification theory, prefer the common case.
Okay. I'm going to ask you in a moment to each of you in a moment to offer any closing thoughts you may have. But first, I want to thank each of you for being willing to answer innumerable questions. I've learned a lot from both of you. I found it very helpful in understanding the subject matter that we're discussing here. I appreciate your patience. I have to say it's a lot easier to throw questions than it is to respond thoughtfully to them, and you both have done the latter. So with a lot of quality there. So thank you for that. We'll start with you, Mr. Barlow, and give Ms. Farrell the closing word here today.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would like to thank Your Honor and your team over there at the CIT for enabling us during the pandemic to continue the process of litigating this matter towards a conclusion. I know that we were concerned when the pandemic arose with what the length of the process, so we, you know, our clients really appreciate the efforts everyone's undertaken there using existing technology to accommodate getting the job done. I think as far as a summary, I think my opening statement to the point, and I think our discussion has been extremely elucidating on the difference between the two parties. And I don't have too much there to add other than, again, we're probably WCO opinion. We think it provides a very workable classification approach. We think it contrasts favorably with the government classification capacity. And it conforms to the transmission meaning sending something to another. And of course, we discussed earlier today how the harmonic equipment can be used for different types of audio, video, data in this interesting new world we all live in where everything's digitalized and sent over the same networks. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. I appreciate it. Ms. Bell?
Yes, first, Your Honor, I second Mr. Barlow's comments about the AOMN work being done by the tech folks at the CIT. It's been really quite incredible. Everyone's trapped in their home, and, Your Honor has managed to make it in, it looks like, the chambers, but I know the rest of us are trapped in our house, and the fact that we're able to speak today and have this case heard, really is a testament to the folks at the CIT and the tech. In the tech area, and I definitely thank them myself. Your Honor, my closing thoughts are simply that Your Honor conducted an overview, as Your Honor knows, and is going to look to the common meaning of the terminology and the headings and the terms of the heading of provide insight. And so we have a heading that talks about transmission apparatus for television. We have testimony from the manufacturer. The purchaser or the person to whom the equipment has been placed in, which is the Harmonic EMRs. The testimony from Harmonic is that this is used with cable systems, so there's no doubt that this is transmission apparatus for television. No television is involved. And so under the common meaning and the breadth of the heading and the fact that there's an exclusion to 8517 if one is classifiable and 8525. We believe supports Customs' position and Customs' decision was correct, and we respectfully request that Your Honor affirm the determination that 8525 is the proper heading. Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Carl, thank you. I want to thank both of you, Ms. Farrell, also for your agency, because I know that the technology is sometimes challenging for the Department of Justice. And I think somebody's mic is open, maybe Mr. Heidrich, if you can be sure you're muted. So thank you both for acknowledging the really terrific work of our court employees. I'm going to name them. Sam Fong is actually on the line with us. Thank you, Sam. And working with them were Suresh Rivera Rosanna Juan Steve Sandel, of course, from the docket's office. From my own chambers, Jake Lendening, who's a legal intern, Noah Schwartz and Bridget Brennan all worked for the last couple of months to try to make this possible, and I feel confident that we've given a really good hearing. And I want to close by thanking Tola Yayumi, who is my law clerk, who sadly, her term is coming to an end at the end of the month, so this will be her last argument. I want to thank her for her terrific work on this and other cases. And on that note, I reiterate my appreciation to each of you. Wish you a good afternoon, and stay safe, everyone.
Thank you, Your Honor. Sam, you still here?
Steve, do you want to get into a quota?
Yeah, you can end it.